come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Hey. Every Saturday night, the Freak Show magically appears on your podcast network. That's not entirely true.
Is it magic? I'm pretty sure they just set out beer and we show up.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you draw us out.
Something like that. You summon us?
Yes.
Yeah. But you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, YouTube, and more.
Castor
and please... I think we're still on there. Please give us a like or a thumbs up or a star rating on that.
Just wherever like us on Castroller. That's it. Forget everything
that doesn't
else.
Do anything.
I want to see if that works.
We want to make our podcast more visible to other fine folks like yourself, and that would really help us out. Or give us a review. We'll read your review on the air. We've got no problem with that. If you've got good things to say about us. So it's a movie review podcast where we look at a movie that's chosen round robin by one of the Saturday Night Freak Show irregulars, and then watch it, talk about it for your listening pleasure. Who are these internet radio superstars?
Sean.
Holly.
Ryan.
Welcome, Ryan. Thanks. And I'm Colin. And tonight we watched a movie that was chosen by
Colin. What did we watch tonight
you
in this movie that you
name.
Chose?
Good
I did.
Job.
I didn't. I get that. Do that later, though. You know, unless somebody else wants to yell at me.
We watched 1972's The Tombs. Oh, no. Sorry. Not the. It's
not
just
that.
Tombs
no
of the Blind Dead from Armando. Armando?
D. Armando.
Armando de Osorio. This is a...
Yes.
Spanish film.
The famous Armando.
You struggled through the title and the director.
I know. This is terrible. We're just getting off to a rocking start. So it's a Spanish movie, but it's actually made in Lisbon, Portugal.
Lisbon. Yes.
Because I think of some of the political things that were going on in Spain at the time. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Euro horror, I think, a little bit. Yeah, are we going to get into that in a little
a
bit?
Subject
yeah.
I am very... No, I'm lying. I'm sorry.
Well, you've seen some
learn, Sean.
Italian horror films.
Sure. Yes.
So what else do we have in Euro horror films? There's not like a whole lot of like Greek horror movies.
No.
I've only seen one.
One Greek horror movie?
Island of Death was filmed in Greece.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Wait, is that the Boris Karloff? No.
No, it's the exploitation movie where actually it just got re-released too. But it's these... Two tourists terrorize some town in Greece.
Oh. It's always tourists.
Solid.
It's always tourists. Never.
Yeah. Well, then there's twists and turns.
Unless it's someone harassing the tourists. That's the other.
That's usually what happens. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, we're going to go backpack through Yugoslavia.
There is something to that, right? I mean, that happens often in like Italian films and Spanish films. I mean, but there's always the idea that the movie is going to start off with some kind of like travelogue.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
This is why you should come and visit our country, because we have these scenic vistas, crumbling castles, and big wide open countryside and pools at the hotels and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Don't forget the pools. Pools.
Yeah.
Pools are great. We love pools. they're really selling.
Yeah,
for that. Yeah, really, I'm there.
I want to go to Madrid or wherever they started. Was that
maybe the famous pools of Madrid?
Did they start in Madrid and they were going to Lisbon? Was that the idea in the movie by train?
Sure. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, we're not sure. It does say that it's filmed. It just said filmed in Madrid and Lisbon. So
we'll say they started in Madrid.
They
and
said
they were
going
to...
towards the border. I don't know.
Yeah, this
they were by the Spanish border.
They were by the Spanish border.
So they had crossed over into Portugal at that point.
They mentioned Lisbon in the subtitles.
Well, this is the thing, like, right? Like, when you're in Europe, you can take a train and, like, just kind of go to all these different countries, probably
literally everywhere.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Yeah.
Right.
On vacation.
Nobody drives. Nobody does anything else.
When you go on vacation, everybody goes on vacation all the time.
It's like going to another state for us.
Yeah.
Like, basically,
we go to Wisconsin over there. They're like, let's go to France for the day.
Right.
Like, that's what they do.
You can just take the hovercraft.
Some suspicious.
Yeah. We go to the Dells.
Yeah.
They go to the south of France.
Right.
Let's go to wineries.
We're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
Well, what's are we doing it right?
What's the like defining characteristics of like the year? Because like the British horror movies don't like seem to fit into this.
No. You know, like all the Hammer movies and stuff. They don't fit into this kind of mold, I don't think.
But the Italian films do. It seems like, I mean, you know, there's usually the idea that your protagonist is like a stranger in a strange land, at least, but like sometimes a foreigner, sometimes somebody from, you know, like they get like an international personality or star to, you know, be the lead. So they're already, you know, out of their element. But then, or in the case of this movie, you know, you've got vacationers from one country going on vacation to another country or somehow wandering off the beaten track. And finding
or jumping off the beaten horror. Track and just walking away.
Jumping off the beaten train in this case.
There wasn't a whole lot of stuff making sense in the beginning of this movie. That's why we don't know where they're going.
Or the middle.
That's very true.
Well, some of that, I wonder if it is like just like our unfamiliarity with the, you know, because I think this movie in particular was made for like a Spanish.
Yeah.
Or sorry, like a European audience for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, you still don't see people usually just jump off. Trains for oh, no
we don't
Spanish or no American.
I mean, I don't hear about it very often.
No. Yeah. It could happen all the time for all we know.
We got to go exploring. How else do you see the countryside? They don't have cars over there apparently in 1972. Nope. Sean,
horses
and an old train. Horses galore.
Yeah. Horses, old train, boats
and boats.
Also boats. Yeah. People just live on boats.
I assume that this was set in 1972. I mean, like, okay, so the political climate of the time was that I think you kind of have to take into account whenever you think of, like, especially Spanish horror, was that General Franco, Francisco, he came to power in the 30s and was, like, kind of a silent ally of the Axis powers. And then he reigned over Spain in a totalitarian, you know, he was a military dictator until his death in 1975. So this movie, I think they said, you know, like, was able to skirt some of the censorship issues that the Spanish film industry had by becoming a co-production with another
with Portugal.
So it was like, okay, we're making a Portuguese movie. We're going to shoot in Portugal and we're making it for like worldwide distribution. So you're able to get away with more by doing it that way.
It's Portuguese.
Yep. But there was also like Franco said, you know, like you have to speak Castilian Spanish in Spain. Like, you know, they wouldn't recognize any other. Yeah, there was a whole bunch of. Yeah.
Damn.
Apparently an oppressive regime to live under.
Did you know this before we were going to watch this movie?
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, it comes up when you watch enough Spanish movies and especially like people have gotten away from there and always talk about it. I thought for some reason that Franco was like 30s, 40s. I didn't realize until I looked into it that he was still around in the 70s. But Guillermo del Toro, I think Pan's Labyrinth, especially.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Devil's Backbone takes place during, you know, the Spanish Civil War. And that would have been during Franco's reign also. So I think that other, you know, like eventually like the Spanish horror cinema or Spanish cinema is like now experiencing like a cultural renaissance, right? I mean, we had the Wreck movies, The Orphanage,
yeah.
Man, I just saw a good one this year, and I can't remember the title of it.
What was it about?
It was about this woman who was like a real estate agent, and she had to go, and there was like this tenement building that she was like sneaking into with her boyfriend, and then it turns out that there was like this dude who lives in the basement or whatever. It was like, it was a pretty good movie, you know? I can't remember the title. It was on Netflix. Most of them end up on Netflix. Alex de Iglesias, I think the guy who did Last Circus and Witching and Bitching, and he's from Spain. So, I mean, there are a number of current Spanish filmmakers making horror movies now. But this movie, Tombs of the Blind Dead, was a, and we will get to talk, break down the plot of this, but I want to give you a couple little tidbits of interest about the movie. It was imported here and cut by 20 minutes. So the English version, we watched the original uncut Spanish language version.
Was all that out of the wandering around scene in the castle? Is that where the 20 minutes came out? Because they could have just cut that, most of that out. and it would be the same movie.
You would think. There's a little bit of that, I think, is cut out. Most of Pedro is cut out, I think, like Pedro and his girlfriend.
Okay.
Also a good...
Yeah,
that's a thing you can cut.
Yeah, you can cut that.
But they take out all the gore, all the nudity, and of which, you know, we're saying there's not a whole lot, but they took all that out because I think, like, at the time in 1972 in America, horror movies were still seen as movies for children. Like, kids went to go see horror movies, and it was only, I mean, like, in the 70s, in early 1970s, is kind of when the censorship constraints opened up, and then you started to see movies like, you know, Hammer's Vampire Lovers, or, you know, where you got more TNA and horror movies, and then the more graphic gore. But I think at that time, they were still thinking that these were movies for kids, so they cut it down to be a PG-rated movie. They also took the flashback scene, what actually, you know, the Templar stuff, and put that at the very beginning of the movie.
Okay.
So that's the first thing that you see in the American cut. And another tidbit, which is the weirdest thing that you're going to hear about this movie.
Really?
So this is, yeah, this one's going to take the cake. And actually, we should have watched this. It's on this disc. But there's an alternate opening to this movie where somehow the distributor tried to tie this into the Planet of the Apes series.
Shut the fuck up.
And so they retitled it, Return to Planet Ape, Revenge from Planet Ape.
No.
What? And somehow explain, like an opening crawl or something, they say that like the apes from the future like went back in time to try and change the past. And
so are the knights supposed to be apes? Dead apes?
Imagine going to the drive-in, seeing this movie that starts with this like, okay, this is another ape movie, and then seeing this movie and going like, those must be apes.
That's wonderful.
What's happening?
Where are the fucking monkeys?
Yeah. Well, they had chin hair. They were like zombie, and they were riding the horses.
Monkeys, zombie monkey people. Okay. Wow.
And I mean, I guess the hands they were very proud of could be little monkey hands that were everywhere. Right?
This is weird.
This is fucking weird.
That's weird.
Yeah.
What?
What?
Wow.
Whose idea was this?
Some distributor trying to cash in and make some money, right?
That's my guess.
Can you imagine that meeting? Okay, go with me on this.
Yeah. All right, guys, I watched this movie.
Planet of the Apes. Just put it out there.
These weird mummy demon ghost things kind of look like monkeys, okay? So what we're going to do, make it about monkeys.
We can cash in on the monkey market, which is big right now.
Monkeys.
Big monkey market.
But wait, Howard. How do we convince people that this is a Planet of the Apes movie?
Oh, I got it. Text crawl. Y'all ever seen Star Wars? Text crawl.
Damn it, Preskin, you're a genius.
Sold.
Yep. That's probably how it went, too.
Probably.
It's the weirdest thing. After this, we'll have to watch just to get
the taste
of this.
We cut out a few. Oh, yeah, it's great. I like it. Yeah. Woo! Let's do it.
Anyway,
he runs off naked, and he's just like, where's Sean going?
I'm late to the strip club, so I gotta go.
Yeah. So you guys do that.
You guys do that.
Here's
text crawl.
Money.
Got it. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yeah. I don't know how much money it made on that run, but because all the posters I've seen are, you know, in English, Tombs of the Blind Dead.
Oh, wonderful.
So
Apes movie. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What else? Maybe that was on its re-release. I don't know. The Apes things were really big in the 70s. Yeah.
How do you cut out Pedro and the girlfriend from, like, the ending of this movie? I see cutting out Pedro.
Well, I think they're still there. They just cut out some of the scenes that they're involved in.
I can imagine one that they would cut out.
I think one is
one. There's one that comes to mind.
Yeah. They cut that one.
That would probably be cut out.
Yeah. But I think, like, a lot of the opening scenes where you're introduced to him, you know, stuff like that.
And so in the middle of this movie and the other cut, a guy with a ridiculous mustache and that hair just shows up and like, I am Pedro.
Also giant pit stings.
Right.
It's hot.
Portugal.
But the other guy was wearing a jacket.
Wearing a jacket.
The whole time.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Everybody who's listening
to this. Look how tan he is. You know what? He lives in the sun.
Roger?
Roger. It doesn't bother him. He's like, I'm cool.
Yeah. We got to tell people what this is about. Because I'm assuming most of you listening have not seen this movie.
That's a safe assumption.
Yeah. Safe assumption.
Encapsulated, it's a movie about undead Templar. Well, they never actually say that.
They never say.
They're just knights.
Yeah. But they're clearly like Knights of the Crusade. They're the Templar.
Yes.
They have the mythology of the Templars, which I guess we'll get into that as we go, too. But. And they come back.
They're excommunicated for their Satan worshiping.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're the Knights Templar, because I think the actual story with the Templar Knights is that they amassed enough of like influence and reputation through the Crusades and like brought home all this loot that they were
able
to. They
become their own thing?
They established these power bases. I think the church, well, this is the, you know, either they're heroes or they're villains.
Or they live long enough to become the
villains. Yeah. And, you know, it depends on what story you subscribe to. But when wherever they're villains, which I guess we'll talk about because we're going toward this movie, is that they had power to challenge the church. And the church didn't like that and basically said that they were all Satan worshipers. And then they were on a Friday the 13th, which is where we get that. That's why it's unlucky.
Yeah.
Is because that's the day that, like, everybody wrote, you know, they... I think in the various places that they were in the world, in their little bases, that's when
Order 66 happened, and they just killed everybody.
Yeah,
gotcha. Yep. Makes sense.
And this was 13th century Europe, so yeah, coming back from the Crusades, okay. Templar Knights. Now in this movie, history. Which basically has the, I guess that kind of thing, the witchcraft they brought back from Egypt. You know, because they were over in the Holy Land and they came back to Lisbon where they established a base and then they were into blood drinking, the blood of virgins.
Blood of virgins.
To
if you're going to drink blood.
It's blood of virgins
is the best. It's the sweetest
It's blood. The best kind.
Yeah.
And somehow just that by itself, drinking blood. Well, that's always been a thing, I guess, with like vampires and, you know, the idea that somehow blood magic will extend your life. You can have eternal life. But it's satanic.
It keeps
and
showing up. Well, yes.
Punished. So what happened to them?
These? Though some would say that, you know, the disciples drink blood, technically.
Bam. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, but it's a foul inversion of that, I think, why that, So Dracula comes back in 3 days. Christ was dead for 3 days. So inversion of that.
Back in 3 days?
I think so. Or not Dracula, days? But is the people, he bites them, and then it takes like 3 days. Okay. Come back, victims.
Yep, sure.
Yeah. Enjoy. So these guys.
Yeah.
This movie.
This movie.
We did a movie. We watched it.
Okay. So we'll talk about this movie.
We experienced it.
Do you want to talk about the knights themselves or.
Let's start with our like main characters.
Okay.
Who where they're at when we meet them.
All right.
We've got
introduce. They're at a beach.
They are at a
pool.
Beach, a pool.
A beach pool.
Pool.
One of the beautiful
Those
pools.
Those pools. I tell you.
That's Lots of showers in. Around.
There are.
Lots of showers.
We meet Bette.
Virginia?
Virginia.
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 Virginia. She is Virginia.
Virginia. Yep. And Roger.
And Roger.
And Roger. Roger.
Well, Roger introduces himself. That's the best me. Intro. He's like, that is me. Hi, I am Roger.
Well, right, let me put on this awesome robe.
It's got fucking big blue dots
on
it. Well,
when you go
amazing.
On vacation in Europe, you know, I mean, you got to take your whole kit with you, which includes the awesome robe, the, you know, explorer jacket.
Yeah. I like how the robes, like, they went down to pretty much crotch level, and that was it. They're just like, I only need to be dry from here.
Yeah. They're just keeping the sun off you. This is like beating down.
You still have to have the goods accessible.
Yes.
That's the idea.
The sex. The sex is visible.
Mm-hmm. Because there's lots of sex happening in Spain. In
Europe. It was for Roger.
Not to Roger, apparently.
Not that we saw. But
well, but he's in a situation where, like, I mean, well, this isn't our main character, but we meet this guy, and he's friends with Virginia. Friends.
Virginia.
I'm saying in quotes. She tells Bette at the pool that, you know, I'm kind of seeing this guy, but it's not serious.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Roger then invites Bette to, like, well, why don't you come with us on our...
And bring a friend.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
Have
Guy, girl, I don't have a preference. Just bring a friend.
Yeah.
Whatever. We need another one. Very insistent is Roger.
Well, he has a thing for Bette, but it's like, what about poor Virginia there?
Virginia. Say it right, please.
Virginia.
Thank you.
Virginia.
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 We know this because they shout that name often.
8,000 times.
Yes. Hello?
Behinya?
Behinya?
Behinya, is that you?
But they end up on this train, you know, that's going to take them to, we assume, Lisbon. And we find out that Bette and Virginia, well, not only is Virginia upset that Bette has tagged along, but also we find out that when they were in school together, they may have learned a little bit about the birds and the bees.
They learned about the world together.
About the world.
Yes.
Which makes them both. No, that makes Virginia more uncomfortable. Because you're Virginia. Saying, like, why the fuck? Because Virginia then jumps off the fucking
train.
She
leaves the fucking train. Well, first she does try to pay the guy to stop said train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
But then when he's like, oh, no, there's nowhere I can't go anywhere. She just decides, yeah, fuck it. I'm jumping.
I'm done.
I don't care. I'm good.
This may seem extreme.
It feels extreme. It
feels a little intense.
It's an extreme reaction.
She's in a very awkward situation.
She is.
Where the guy that she's with is like trying to get chummy with her.
Pulling Bette onto his lap. Yeah, it's a little awkward.
It is a little. He goes for it.
A little bit.
So literally both the people she may or may not have had sex with at some time are now going to bone? I don't know.
I mean, it seems like that's
what I'm saying. Right. Her jumping off the train doesn't seem this extreme to me. She's like, fuck it, I want to get out of here.
Done.
And she's like, I'm going for that creepy old castle on the hill.
You really got to have like negative feelings about what is happening to you to just jump off a train in the middle of nowhere. Like, but maybe, there's a castle, I'll be fine.
Maybe they're a more adventurous type, the Spanish.
They were conquistadors.
Well, I mean, that's very true, but there's adventurous and there's dumb. And she
well, this is a
dumb
horror movie.
Well, I mean, she could have also just moved like compartments. Like, you know what? I'm going to go sit in the other train. I'm going to do that.
There's there's like three of them on this. I'm going up there. I'm going to sit with the coal.
Right.
I'm going to do something. I'm not going to jump off the train.
Then we wouldn't have a movie, Sean.
I mean, you can say that about every movie.
Well, she did try to go out the back of the train, and they followed her. So that's when she's like, fuck this. You keep following me. I'm jumping off this goddamn train.
That's when we have the smoke flashback.
Smoke flashback.
Which is wonderful. I imagine that it was just like Roger standing there going, smoking a lot, going, and then we got
the
flashback.
I hope that's what it was.
It's a nice, misty, like smoky flashback.
It is. Like, all right, now the smoke. Okay. All right, flashback.
Well, I was worried about that when they first got on the train and the window was open and like, I'm like, who the fuck is smoking on the train?
Yeah.
And then it's just the steam, I guess, from the train.
Like, I was not steam.
No, I thought she was like turned away smoking. Like,
I thought she was too.
Like then a chimney.
I thought the train was on fire. That was a lot of smoke.
Yeah. I mean, coal. Like, this doesn't look healthy for anybody.
No, not at all. Like, shovel the coal in there.
But then the smoke eventually invades there. So it's the steam. It's a nice little segue. Steam fills up the screen between the two women, and then it goes to the flashback.
It's a steamy scene. I got it.
Steamy. And there's steam constantly going through the screen. We're saying smoke, but it was wrong. It was steam.
That's it's a steam engine.
it was going through tunnels. No, that never actually happened.
No, I thought you were trying to make another metaphor.
That's there. North by Northwest. But, that actually happened.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie. It's fantastic.
So lesbians.
Right.
Lesbians, ghost of the castle.
So lesbian flashback.
Right. Lesbian flashback. Virginia.
Virginia.
And so she goes off to explore this place called Berzano, which the conductors of the train are like, we should not go here. And I believe, you know, basically all the locals throughout the movie will regard this place with fear and suspicion.
Yeah.
For the this happens like five times with the conductors of the train. It's like, no. Let the police. We'll be fine. We keep going.
Do not stop.
Go. Do not stop, as the young son always wants to stop. Which, I mean, as end up finding out.
The son wants to help people.
Bad idea. This father was right. It's like, we don't stop this train.
Because he's old and he remembers the old country.
Yeah.
These young people don't understand like the ways of the old.
I thought he was just being a dick, but no, he's legit. Yeah. Shouldn't have stopped the train.
Shouldn't stopped the train.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed at my son.
Because it turns out that the Berzano, which I'm trying to figure out, like they refer to as an abbey. It's also referred to as a house.
Yeah.
Unless we're talking about a certain room in the, like,
you know, I think the abbey was just a separate structure within the castle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like a, rooms. Like you could, you know, take this as like a city or a town from
kind
a
very small one.
I think it's just, it's like a castle layout.
Right.
So, you know, it's got like a big building here. It's got its little church over here and it's got its cool satanic cemetery over here.
Yes.
With onks.
With onks.
There's onks everywhere.
Egyptian satanic cemetery. It's cool.
Yep. Because the Templars brought that back with them from the aforementioned Egypt and where they learned their secret of immortality.
Yes, indeed. And so, Berhinia.
She just decides, you know what?
That looks cool.
I'm going to stay in this castle. Let me just
put out dudes or lesbians there.
Yep. So I'm gonna hang out there.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I was kind of like.
I'm going to wander for 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
I wish they had just stayed with her for the hour trip it had taken her to get to that castle. That would have made it worth it. Just dead silence for that long.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up for that. But she does wander around that castle for 20 minutes checking it out. Yeah. Hello?
Knocking, calling out.
Why? I mean, I know she's got nowhere else to go at this point, but
the fact that Roger and Bette never like stopped the train or came back or did anything.
No.
They're just assuming, okay, she's pissed. I suppose we're assuming that they're assuming this because we don't actually see it.
Well, yeah, and the next time we see them, they're like, well, she did not return.
Yeah, they're yeah. Like
they, she never made it to the hotel.
Wow. What? Like, well, no shit, she walked away.
Yeah, and 40 miles away or whatever the fuck yeah. in this town.
Right.
Or it's more than that because they have to talk to somebody
two who more 40 hours miles away afterwards, but yeah. I figure she would have been here.
Made it by now.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it's been 4 days.
But Virginia runs afoul of the
Oberyn, yeah.
blind dead. So why are they blind?
Because their eyes got eaten by crows. They were hung from trees and they're for their punishment of Satan stuff.
Because they used to kidnap virgins and drink their blood.
And this mythology is not terrible.
No, the story is there. It is just not well executed sometimes.
All the pieces are there.
The pieces are there. Yeah. I like the satanic cool knights. Those are pretty badass.
Yes.
Horse riding zombies like? Are cool.
Yeah. Oh, what do they look like? You got to well, theater of the mind
they're
here.
Dead, what? Blind.
They're dead and blind. They have skull. They come out of skulls. Yeah. They have skullish faces.
They do. With, I like the look.
They're
with
like very
wispy dirty. Hair. Hence yes. why they could they're, have been undead yeah. monkeys riding right. horses.
Very true.
And these there's tattered, like,
tattered robes.
And cloaks and everything. Like, yeah. I like the design of them. It's very cool.
They look a little more mummy-esque than zombie-esque.
Yeah. I would say yeah. so.
They wear they are, oven mitts.
They do.
They have a lot of
shiny metallic oven mitts.
But I noticed in the flashback, they were wearing those mitts. You
yes,
notice?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, oh.
They're night gloves. They're not oven mitts. Damn.
To protect their hands when they're fighting, like sword fighting.
All right, I assume it's like a chainmail glove.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, something like that.
It didn't deteriorate over yeah. the 500-600 years right. nope. or whatever. Since
and very mummified hands.
That they walk around like, with T-Rex.
Right. There's
T-Rex,
no more than yeah. three mummified yeah. hands in the prop shop at this point. They use the one many times when they're opening crypts to crawl out of.
Yeah.
And one of them's animatronic. It like reached in and grabbed the, she put a bolt over the door and right. it reaches in and picks it up.
It was the one animatronic. Yeah, well, yeah. The other ones were just like,
Yeah,
the other ones were just carved wooden sticks.
Yeah. Basically, yes.
And they are blind, but apparently their hearing apparatus is still functioning because this is how the, like blind den, the blind dead hunt you is whenever you make a sound.
The okay. what? Don't breathe obviously ripped this movie up.
obviously.
Clearly.
Yeah.
So, okay, when...
Turkey baster and all. Oh, that was an awkward scene in this movie.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
Turkey. Does that make Woo. Pedro the turkey baster?
I think so. I think that's where that is. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that, dear listener. You were saying, Holly.
Was I?
Yeah. Were you going to talk about monk chanting?
No, I was going to ask a question, kind of a continuity question. So when the knights are hung, they get their eyes pecked out after they're already dead, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So why are they blind ghosts? They weren't blind when they died.
True that. It's a curse, maybe? That
it feels like, the logic I was just going to go for does not make sense.
There you go.
I don't think we should try to apply logic to this film.
Probably not.
That's fair, right?
I was going to say, it still seems like they have their corporal bodies that they come back as.
Yeah.
But who's to say their eyes wouldn't have melted away over the years anyway?
Yeah.
So why should they be blind? I don't know.
They shouldn't be blind.
But maybe they would
because
still be blind.
Because Tombs of the Blind Dead sounds badass.
Tombs of the Dead is not as good
it's
as
not as badass as Tombs of the Blind Dead.
Yes.
This is very true.
You're just like, oh, that automatically raises a question. Why are they blind?
Yeah.
And then the guy was just like, all right, how am I going to make these fucking ghosts blind?
Mm-hmm.
Eyes pecked out by crows. Sounds pretty cool, too.
There it is.
That so. Does. And they have, like, the ghost horses that immediately enforce them to ride in slow motion whenever they show up out of nowhere.
I like yep. the idea.
Ghost horses are buried somewhere nearby in the cemetery, right. I assume, and just, like,
no, I imagine they're just, up. Like, they just, you know, come to be as they're galloping towards.
I want to point out that Lord of the Rings was written before this movie came out, but there are
they
there's
also
a lot
ride
of
slow motion,
shared,
don't they?
Yeah, there's a, it was even in the animated mm-hmm. one, I think. But yeah. there's a bunch of the Nazgul imagery here
yeah.
of cloaked guys and horses yes. chasing
Very
after
so.
Young maidens yeah. in fields and whatever.
Fun fact, horses still had eyes, not blind.
Very true.
Not.
Oh shit! Well, that would explain zombified, a whole lot.
Just covered up a lot.
Yeah. How did they get where they were going? Because the horses knew where they were going.
See.
That's what I was thinking. I'm just like, okay, how did they? Oh, the horses. Horses
can see.
They can see. They're leading them.
Well, I'm glad there's logic there.
we're trying to apply something.
Yeah. I think it checks out. What? It's a horror movie.
It's she gets far enough away where they shouldn't be able to hear her when she's running away, maybe.
But the horses can see.
I guess. Do horses just run after things that they see?
No, here's the logic continuity thing that's harder to get past is Virginia becomes the first victim of the blind dead.
Very true.
Yeah. After which they basically just kind of leech onto her.
But let's talk about how she just decides to make a fire.
This is an okay place.
Get naked and
change into her pajamas
in the middle of nowhere.
Well, because you
and then just hang out with her radio for a while.
And read a book and eat her Mentos or whatever.
Smoke a cigarette.
Yeah. Like it didn't look like a bad night.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Right? Until they showed up, it was fine. Yeah.
And, you know, if you didn't pan out and see that you're in a decaying, crumbling castle.
Yeah, there's
I
that.
I mean, there's fire.
What else do you really need?
But that's what I'm like. Can't tell, like, what time of day it is. Why, when she gets there, she's just like, fuck it, I guess it's not an actual town, so I'm just going to camp here, and then I will go somewhere else tomorrow when I wake up. So I got my bedroll with me and all the comforts of home. So I'm just going to rough it.
She have food?
That's what I was wondering about. Is like, what's she gonna eat?
She's just eating mints.
She had a choose your own adventure book.
Is that what happened?
Like, Ryan pointed out.
She's like, fuck this! I need to see what happens at the end. That was wonderful.
But she arouses the attention of the blind dead, who then
slowly does she arouse it, or do they just do that every night?
I think it seems like they just do it every night.
I think they do it every night.
You don't think it's because she's there?
No, I think they do it every night.
I think they congregate it and they're like, oh, what's that jazz music? There's someone here, you know.
Because they said, like, the legend is that they wake up and hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think some nights they don't get anything. And some nights there's just people there. So I think they do that every night.
That's why I like the idea that they are coming back and replacing the tombstones every night over them as they go to sleep.
It's like tucking themselves in.
Because that would mean that, it's all nicely, you know, they got to move the slate off the top. Get out of the
Frank,
ground.
I am tired. Can you just put this on top of me when I get inside? I don't want to do this tonight.
Yeah,
maybe the ones who live
in the hole or whatever in the wall.
What about the ones that are like actually buried underground?
Yeah,
they have to like cover themselves.
That's where we cut to the half hour of the skeletons just digging a hole.
See, that's what I'm thinking. It's when they are
the horses kicking dirt on them.
There we go.
When there's a person in the vicinity, that's when they wake up.
Right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But what is odd about this?
What is odd about this, Colin?
We're saying the logic issue that Virginia, who has become a victim of the blind dead, then gets transported to the morgue where there's the world's creepiest morgue attendant.
The best part of the movie.
Love that guy.
Introduced playing with the frog, or was that later?
No. Introduced getting ready to pull the sheet, looking creepy as shit.
Just he loves his job. He's just.
He was so excited for them to ID that body.
Yeah.
And he purposely showed him the wrong body.
Yeah.
he did. But that's a great little, like, a little character thing for that guy. Because he didn't have to do that. He could just be, you know, like a solemn attendant. Just like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah. Look.
Okay. There was no... there was no reason for him to be that creepy.
No, and that was wonderful. Great.
Yeah,
but what's weird is we found out he's not the creepiest person in that morgue when they drop off the body.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Oh, because then the greatest line in the movie is the two autopsy technician coroners, whatever they are, drop off the body and are just like, so what happened to her? Oh, she was tortured by being bitten and because she was asking for it. And this one was hot, too. And it was like, what?
Jesus.
Yeah.
They have opinions.
Yeah. Apparently.
Hard opinions on people.
You wear shorts out in the Spanish countryside. You are asking to be bitten by zombies.
Yeah. That's the message, right?
Apparently.
That's it.
Wow.
So are we attributing that to
the...
It's
a shame. She's hot. If she was ugly, would have been okay.
But do you attribute that to the
culture? Well, then she
wouldn't
have been asking for it.
That's true.
In Spain at the time, or like it's a political thing?
Or it's just 70s.
It's just the 70s? This is everywhere?
Attribute that to Spain.
Haven't we established already that the 70s is kind of just rapey in general anyway?
I mean, it's more...
Most rapes happened in the 70s.
People did have rapey mustaches.
Yeah, they did.
It's very true, as we'll learn later in this movie.
Oh, God. So bad.
Also,
or we're building mustaches. To it like there's a rape in the movie. Am I blowing this? There's a rape in the movie.
We were trying to dance around the subject.
I know, but you're building it up like this is the centerpiece of the movie.
I do that.
I don't know. I think the creepy Morgan guy was the centerpiece of the movie.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, not the centerpiece.
It was a highlight.
Not the centerpiece. It shut the movie down, but not the centerpiece. Everything came to a screeching halt for a good old-fashioned rape.
Kind of did.
Yeah, it did kind of stop
them. Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
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 There's a character named Pedro who is,
smuggler.
He's
smuggler.
Yeah, he's a smuggler.
A modest smuggler.
Modest smuggler.
Right, just to make a living.
The police are attributing the attacks that have happened in this area to him and his gang of smugglers, yes. Which that makes sense, I suppose. Sure. Like, there is no blind dead.
You're not going to believe the blind dead.
It's these guys using the legend to keep people away so they can conduct their nefarious
makes
business.
Sense.
Business, yes.
But Pedro has this very jealous girlfriend, kept woman, whatever the hell she is.
Some sort of lady.
Yeah.
She appears to possibly be a lady of the night.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
She asks for it.
She
quite
does.
Literally.
Yeah.
Quite literally. But then, not from Pedro.
No, she wants it from Pedro.
She wants it from, I think she just she is just, looking to
but
yeah,
I think that's,
get it.
She wants it from Pedro, but she's jealous because our heroes, Roger and Bette, enlist the help of Pedro and the woman.
Yeah, I don't think they ever say her name.
No.
And I'm not entirely sure what exactly. How they're supposed to be helping? Because he's got a boat or something? We're just going to go to the castle because...
And try to figure it out.
I think they're there to wait and see who is actually showing up.
I think so, too, because the police suspect Pedro in this business.
Yep.
So he's like, you come with me and we'll see if there is anything to this. If anybody else shows up...
We'll
I think it's
it
kind
out.
Of to clear Pedro's. It's like, well,
yeah.
You come with me, so I know
he's probably
it's not
wondering.
You.
He's probably wondering. Well, it's not me. They think it's
right.
Me. Who the fuck
we'll
is it? Who's on my
who
turf?
It is.
Yeah.
So they bring Pedro.
They don't say that, but I think that's what they were going for.
They don't say much.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the easiest way to connect those dots.
I think
that's
so.
Yeah.
That's the way it seems.
Yeah.
Because when they get there, because that's why I'm like, okay, are they on a stakeout or what is actually happening here?
Feels
but
like it.
It doesn't feel like a stakeout because the girl's like, oh, we need to get some reefer so we can have a party.
Well, that's what she wants.
Yeah.
Everybody else wants a stakeout. And she's just like, oh, let's liven it up a little bit. Hey.
Yeah. So it's not like a serious, like, we're waiting for, I think Roger and Bet are in for, like, the, you know,
they want to
see
know what happened
wanna...
to their friends. Yeah.
Yes, they are the Richard Dreyfuss and Rosie O'Donnell of this movie.
Yeah.
That's a
But also, out. Well, oh, this is happening.
That's a, just
why did
that.
The one girl come back?
Thank you, Holly. Thank you. Someone yeah. got that.
Wait, that's what I want to know.
Well, that was what I was going toward earlier yeah. with the, this why, is the continuity thing.
Why does, what's, Virginia?
Virginia.
Yeah.
Why does she come back as a zombie?
Spoiler. No, okay.
Well, I mean, she gets.
But nobody else does.
Yeah.
Well, we don't
why not?
Who else do we see? They don't show anyone else again.
But why? Why just her?
Well, I mean, she happens early enough in the movie where she has time to come
if
back.
If this
as a
is some sort of thing that happens,
this is
in,
a thing.
If this is
it is a
the mythos of the blind dead
and
that they bite you, you come back.
It appears to be so.
Yeah.
They should have done it again. Because so far, it's just like, oh my God, this person's dead.
So you're saying
this one comes back.
So just because it happened once, it's not like that's not enough
no,
to convince
that's
you
true,
that this is what
then,
they do?
Because then also, like, when she comes back and attacks Bette's assistant in the mannequin shop.
And the morgue
what was the point
guy?
Of that scene?
To watch her get burned, I guess. I don't,
there was no point of that scene. I don't think Bette even finds out about it in this movie.
No.
So there was no point to that.
No, nobody else knows she comes back as a zombie, do they?
Yeah.
No, she kills the morgue attendant guy. They do say that her body's missing because they say something like to Bette, like, oh, yeah, somebody came in and killed my morgue attendant and stole your friend's body. It's obviously those smugglers or something.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And then there's nothing else.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was mainly just to have the creepy murder hallway.
Worth it. Creepy
murder hallway.
I think
great.
The sequence itself works out pretty well.
I think so, too.
Because you've got this, like, the Euro horror blinking light.
The blinking,
like,
blinking
neon
red
lights.
Light.
Mannequins.
Yeah.
Giant red light. Yeah. Mannequins looking creepy as shit. I mean, it was
that's
great
never
scene.
Not pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like your horror set piece, but
just I doesn't don't know why
it doesn't
there.
Fit yeah. with the rest of the movie because no if all you have to yeah. do is die at the hands of the blind dead in order to gain some type of immortality, then like the blind dead got it kind of rough.
Yeah.
Right? They right. had to go through to torture lot. Getting the, yeah, drinking yeah. blood of virgins and getting their eyeballs pecked out.
I
yeah.
will say of all the pointless scenes in this movie, that one was the most like okay, I'll let that go.
Acceptable. Yeah. Just like, yeah.
All right.
It's like the fine. Diversion cool. into, you know, your straight up horror, right. you know.
Yeah. It's cool. We got the dude and there was a cool scene where people were set on fire and a cool effect. That you described as like yeah. shot through a mirror, what have you?
Yeah, I think you have your fire actually off to the side, and you're shooting through like a half mirror, so right. that you can see the reflection of the fire, but you're looking through the glass okay. at your subject,
right.
so it
and
makes
you just
it look
line
like
line it up.
Yeah, perfectly. Like, look, they're on fire.
Yeah, yeah I mean, that's one way of doing it. Worked yeah. for me.
I know for
cool.
1972, that's
I don't
not
see
bad.
That often.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's why there's a couple directorial flourishes in this that are like stand out as like, man, it's interesting. You know, the smoke flashback, yes. You know, the flashing light, the fire effect, and then later when Bette's heartbeat is giving away her position because she's trying to be quiet and the blind dead are out there, mm-hmm. and there's this kind of like the camera zooms in on each, like it's doing the heartbeat, you know, visually yeah. with the zooms, which I'm like, huh, it's kind of interesting.
Cool. You know? I wish there had been more of that throughout the film, mm-hmm. except in these just moments, because that was pretty cool. I like the camera work. Like if you're going to do it, like keep doing it throughout the thing.
Yeah. But I guess this cool. is where the ideas were like, oh, I have this idea. Yes. We're going to do it.
Yeah, you will Armando. Zoom in quickly and then do it again.
Yeah. Okay. So we're the, Pedro, his girlfriend, Roger, and Bette return to the Abbey to now solve yes. the mystery of what happened to Virginia.
Virginia.
Mm. And Pedro's going to go for a walk.
And they, yeah, there's a whole confusion.
It doesn't make sense.
The scene
sense.
Is confusing. No.
It was it's totally fine.
Confusing.
I don't know where you people were. He's like, fuck it. You got, like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm going to go for a walk. And then he says to Bette, do you want to go for a walk? At that point, because the other girl is assuming that like everybody gets with everybody because yeah. it's Spain in the summertime in 1972. And apparently they do. So she's immediately like, oh, he just basically asked this other girl to go with him when he knows that I want to be with him. So she's like, I'm going to try and seduce Roger.
Naturally.
So that's what's happening.
I get that's what's happening, but it's not like a clear, concise, like they ramble through that scene until we just end up.
Would it have been better without the subtitles, Sean?
It was just awkward.
It's awkward, but it's
in the movie. It's just very like awkward.
Yeah, but it's, I think strange. It's supposed to be yeah. awkward because
too,
of the way
like
that
it takes too long to get to that point. It could have just been like, I'm going to go for a walk. Would you like to come?
Yeah, but it's maybe. The hidden animosities or whatever between the characters are coming out in those moments.
I guess so. Gotta have tension.
Yeah, I don't think it flows.
It's the home. Sexual
gotta,
tension.
There's gotta be friction.
Sure.
We'll go all right. Wait. Okay. So, and then, yeah, and so then Pablo, what's his name?
Pedro.
Like wanders outside. And we find out that Bette is actually a virgin. That she has been untouched by a man because they make her squeamish.
Yeah.
Because obviously
she's
we've seen
a
the
lesbian?
Past. You were yeah. actually asking, like, is this lesbian thing going to come back? And I'm like, oh shit, it did.
The but lesbian it, stuff. They but not in like, a good way. Follow,
yeah. Not in a good way. They didn't follow it up with anything.
No.
But you
nothing
know,
is followed up in this movie.
In that moment, I guess you know her state of mind, even though, you know, because we've seen this thing earlier.
But then like, why was she like vibing on Roger real hard?
I think they were, I think she was, I'm not saying this was executed properly, but I think she was just kind of like being playful, like just kind of joking. And he was the one that was like taking
okay.
it seriously. Okay.
She also says that she does this at the last moment. With
that's
men.
True.
That's
she
true.
Did
she
say that.
Did say
so
that.
It's, everything's
yeah.
so it's like
normal for her.
She wants to get with a dude
right, but
until
comes, yes.
then she's like, no,
yeah,
I don't want.
She always she has that when she gets to that point, she's like, no, I cannot do it. I am
Because something happened when she was a child.
But they never say yeah.
they
what.
They never say what.
Never say yeah. what.
What? Whatever.
But Pedro seems to take this as, not Pedro. Is it Pedro?
Yeah,
Pedro.
It is Pedro.
Takes this as like an opportunity to cure her of this problem forcefully and then rapes her. And it's like, It's a full-on, like, rape.
Yeah.
As a rape scene.
Full-on.
Yeah. Which, granted, nowadays you don't see this enough to be accustomed to it. I'm not saying that that's a necessarily good thing, but it feels like I've seen enough of these movies where it doesn't, like, shut the movie down. It's like, right. It's just part and parcel for the course of 70s Euro cinema.
Within context. Maybe, maybe not, but maybe you should make context within the movie that you're watching.
Well, I think that is what's happening. Like, that's what the movie's explanation of his character is.
Sure.
And then because of that, then he gets punished immediately afterwards. The blind dead come and eat him.
I guess
he doesn't have to just be punished because he's a fucking smuggler. Like, we already don't like him.
Because I think smugglers like, can be good people.
Yeah,
like,
because you're flaunting.
Don't even say Han. Don't even say it.
Look at Han Solo.
I knew you were going to say Han Solo.
I was actually going to go with Captain Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly.
See?
Well, there you go.
He's pretty charming.
But my biggest question.
But he hasn't committed a sin, you know, like by being a smuggler.
Sure.
Of course, I don't think that this where I'm going doesn't work because we're not saying that Virginia committed a sin to, you know, the slasher movie. Sin equals death formula.
But the thing is, though, like, the whole point of, like, the knights at the beginning was that they needed a virgin to sacrifice and drink her blood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you come across and you find out that Berhinya is, in fact, a virgin.
Bet. Not Berhinya.
Oh, Bet. I'm sorry. I'm backwards. Bet is a virgin.
Yeah.
That, like, you're hoping, like, oh, this could play into the
story.
This
is going to do something.
This could do something. Mm-hmm. Like, she is a virgin. This is, like, a reason for the knights to be going after her specifically.
Oh, nope. It's just a reason for rape, apparently.
It's just a reason for rape at this point. It is. Like, there's, like, it could have been.
They could have done something.
They could have done something with that.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing out of that. We just get a rape scene out of that.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they weren't, like, they didn't feel the need to do that. They didn't think of it, what have you. But it feels like they could have, like, connected a story here or made something out of it, and they did not at all.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It could have been better at that point.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it forgives a storyline like that, but it could have connected it all more.
Yeah.
It is just unusual. But again, like I said, I can't tell if it's unusual from us and watching it in the 2017.
Sure.
Or, you know, if.
If the Spanish cinema of the 1970s was like why is the rape? What is going on?
Yeah, because like we established before, there's a lot of rape going on in 70s movies.
That's how they spoke, 70s
yeah.
movies.
Yeah.
That's what they said?
That was your Spanish accent?
Yeah, they're just like, hey, what's it, the rape? What's with the rape?
Yeah,
what,
we're saying morally, though, morally rape is bad whenever it occurs. I just want to make that.
Yeah, okay. Oh, we're not clear?
It is not condoned.
Condoned by the Saturday Night Free Show.
No, it's... Like, we were pretty vocal throughout this entire movie. It was like, we were pretty quiet for the next 5 minutes.
Well, because you don't expect to see it, right?
Yeah. No.
At first, it was, okay, girl wants to go out, get some. Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for Pedro. Whatever.
If that's what you want, go for it.
You do you, you know?
Right. And then we're just like,
That took a sharp left turn.
Yeah. Woo. Pedro.
Did not need, no.
No.
And then I thought it took another surprise turn, like, minutes later when the blind dead, like, chop Roger's arm off. And all of a sudden, I mean, like, that was like, because I expected, I don't know, because,
like,
just the way that,
right.
Like, we're used to the characters disappearing at the end of horror movies, Pedro's girlfriend is still alive. So usually it's Pedro goes, she goes, then Roger and Bet, you know, are the last two. And then maybe you got a 50-50 shot that Roger will make it or not. But Roger actually gets killed, like, he's up next.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He does not die. The girlfriend dies. And then Roger's laying there dying. No. Yeah,
but he loses an arm.
Roger's laying there dying. Talking to Bet.
Yeah, while the other girl is getting killed.
At some point, she'll knock her away and open the door.
Technically. Yeah.
All right, so he does die second to last.
Oh,
all right.
It's within seconds of each other. But yes.
But that was kind of like, oh, shit.
Like, get in. Like, at the last second, she's knock her away, and she's like, oh, come in, Roger. Please, get out of there. But no, he's like, fuck, he loses his arm.
When he's laying there dying, and he's like, don't speak, that's the only way you'll survive. When did they figure that out? Did I miss that?
I think the professor told him the legend is they use their hearing to hunt or whatever. I don't know. Pedro's dad.
Yes, that's his right. father. Yeah. Is it his father?
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah. It is. Oh,
the cop comes to see him and is like, "Where's your son now?" And that's when we find out about Pedro.
The son of the professor. That's because went wrong.
They think that the professor, knowing all this stuff or being a student of it, has passed this on to his son, and that's why the son is using the legend of the blind dead to keep people away from his criminal enterprise.
He did not teach him anything.
No.
Well, he must have, he said something like that's what I was waiting for him to say, like
sick knife moves
when when the guy comes up to him and is like, or Roger comes up to Pedro and he's like, "Have you been, you know, using the legend of the Templar Knights to keep up away?" I was expecting him to go like, "No, but that's a good idea. I should do something like that," you know, but he's just like, "Oh, that." So it's like, I think he had been doing something, circulating the ledger in order to keep, you know, the authorities off of his track. Or just, you know, the average.
I guess so.
What the villagers.
Maybe only like patronized that castle during the day. So he never had to run into anybody.
Right.
That would make more sense. As far as like him never running, like maybe using that legend to keep people away from that area. But only like because he was there during the day.
Yeah.
He never ran into anybody during the night.
Because if he did, he'd be dead because they would have got him. Because they come up during the night.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. And he has no fighting skills whatsoever. He just trips over shit and gets eaten.
No, that's the fucking thing. Nobody in this goddamn movie has any fighting skills. They don't fight back. These things are really slow as shit.
They hit the one with a stick.
A stick.
She poked at it through the door.
Yes.
She's up there in terror.
Nobody fights back. These things are slow shit, and
also,
nobody fights back.
She bet runs through all of them at the end of this, which nobody else thought
she'd
do.
She's being quiet.
But
they
she's running through them. Like
footsteps?
Anybody could have decided to like run away at any point.
They can hear her heart.
It's like
Night
of the Living Dead. She says like they're so slow. It's like you could run away from them. Yeah,
they're
they might
so
follow
slow.
You on horses, but you could run away from them.
But
at
the
any
horses
point.
Are very slow as well.
Yes,
we
so
went
slow.
Over this.
Everything
but
is
they
slow.
Have eyes, so
they can find you.
They will find you. Though there is a hesitant moment where they are following Bet, and they're just like, "What's going on?"
No, everyone is so goddamn slow in this movie. Nobody does shit.
No, run.
It drives me crazy. Even at the end with the train, they're watching them come towards, and he's like, "Hurry, son. Hurry," and he's not helping at all.
Well, to be fair, Bet's not helping very much either.
No,
she's gone
either.
To dead weight at that point. Yep. They're trying to get her on board the train.
She's...
And the blind dead are coming over the ridge. And then they get on the train, which I thought was great. Because I'm like,
yeah.
It's like you see them going
That's
after
great.
Bet, but they actually are getting on through the caboose.
And they're just kind of
shuffling through the cars,
there,
killing people. Yeah. And then there's that other taboo breaking moment.
Spraying blood all over a small child.
They're eating the mother, and the blood is just pouring all over this poor little girl.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
That was fucking disturbing.
It is disturbing.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
I've never seen that before.
Just blood splashing on a child.
Well, then it was like they cut back to it.
And that child did not look like it knew what was happening.
That child did not know what was going on.
Just why are they pouring corn syrup on my head?
Oh, God.
And then they eat the child later, too. I think there was
a little bit of a hand appears.
Yeah.
Yes, my child.
And then but that was where we were trying to figure out, like, how the train got moving again, but apparently somebody must have tripped it. This is a shot that's missing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That somebody tripped the brake, and the train goes and pulls into the station.
I mean, from what I'm guessing is that...
From my engineering background, I'm
when
guessing.
When they pull the father train conductor off, he must have been holding onto it.
Sure.
That's why
then
there's blood on the brake.
That's why there's blood on the brake is what I'm getting.
Yeah, that's actually legit,
It just was maybe not shot in a way that we could see him.
Right, the geography of that scene is not clear.
Maybe they could have done a close-up of the brake getting released again.
Right.
I don't know. Something.
Right, they went back and shot inserts of the bloody, after he touched the brake, the bloody hand.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they shoot an insert of the...
Now, was there something mentioned about whether they do this... Whether they're supposed to do this in the daytime, because it was daytime when they were still up and about.
At certain points, very daytime.
Very
I know they're
daytime.
Shooting day for night at this point, but it is very daytime.
I think the end of the movie takes place like dawn has broken.
When they pull into the station, it's like full on morning.
They
so
get to
night,
it at some point.
Night doesn't affect the blind. They just generally prefer it. Right?
It's a personal choice.
They're not vampires. They're fine. The sun doesn't hurt.
Right. That's when one of the blind eye comes up and is like, well, it's more of just a guideline than a rule. Really. It's like, we can be out during the day.
Uh-huh.
That's just when they get tired.
Right. Just like, well, we
It's a nice, like a little apocalyptic ending, which I also wasn't expecting from a movie of this vintage that, you know, now the blind dead have been carried through modern technology, you know, the train away from their home and to, I suppose they've gone back to, where are we?
Lisbon. They got to Lisbon.
Madrid, wherever the hell that they ended up.
I don't know where they are.
And they're getting off the, you know, they're continue to spread their influence. I know the end of the print that we watched, I think, was a composite where they used stills or something. Because
it looks like they ran out of changed. Film.
Yeah.
I think something got cut. So that we
they ran out of film and just, we're going to, you know, pull focus on this picture.
Yeah. So, I wanted them, screaming. The nice to get off the train, like, wearing, like, businessmen from the 1950s, like they have a hat and a briefcase. They're like, well, I'm going to work now. I shall see you later.
I still say it was a missed opportunity that when the train started going, one of them should have been wearing a conductor's hat and steering the train.
Right. Just
like, yeah.
Flaps one
in
on.
In the Monty Python version of Tombs of the Blind Dead.
I really saw this going Monty Python at the end of it.
This whole movie, I kept waiting for those monks to be walk around and like hit themselves in the face, like in Monty Python.
Oh.
Every time they showed them.
Wow.
No.
Monty Python has trained you to see. The monks or Templars doing that all the time? They've ruined it.
Now you can't
go back and see.
Well,
comedy,
when they got to the
train, ruining movies.
When they
since
got to the train, that's when
ruining?
The comedy element was like, we kind of expected it.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like it should be there.
Yeah.
Warranted or not.
Well, this movie was followed by three sequels.
What happens in these three sequels?
Does it expand on the fact that people become zombies?
Yeah, what happens,
Colin?
Does
it pick up from the train station?
I have not watched them. Well, I watched a little bit of the second one, which is The Return of the Evil Dead. That's what it's called. Return of the Evil Dead.
How is it a sequel?
They're having a... Well, the blind dead just kind of show up. I think like there's a little bit of, you know, they in each episode, they reiterate the origin story and you get to see a flashback, which is now reshot. I think.
Oh, no, do they reshoot it or they recut it from this movie?
I think they the one I saw looked like it was reshot.
Okay.
And then they're having like a celebration. Some town is having a celebration, I think, and celebrating the day the Templars died or something. And then they come in and kill everybody in the. The third one is called the Ghost Galleon, which these people
pirates
find a ship, the drift, and they get on the ship, and the ship has the blind dead on it. I think they're models or something, photographers and models. They find on a pleasure cruise.
Naturally.
And then the fourth one is called Night of the Seagulls, and I'm sorry to say.
I'm sorry.
I don't know the plot line of that one.
Is this like, does this go way back to the origin? These are the seagulls that pecked out their eyes?
We can hope, but probably not.
We can hope.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume no.
I'm sure I looked this up at some point, but my memory is following me or failing me. Yes, probably. Blind.
So.
Night of the Blind Seagulls.
So it's the birds mixed with this movie.
Right.
I don't think so.
And AIDS.
And AIDS.
Creeping around.
Oh, I thought you said AIDS. I'm like, wow, that seems odd to have to mix AIDS into that. Apes. Apes makes more sense than AIDS.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's it for the Tomb of the Blind Dead.
Unless you have any random stray thoughts.
I think so. I think every crazy thing the characters did in this movie we covered pretty well.
I mean, there was just a lot of wandering. So that's
around.
Why maybe the plot synopsis seems concise, because there was just a lot of wandering.
Yeah. A lot, yeah.
A whole lot of just walking.
I think we pretty much hit everything.
Reading.
All right, well, then we'll have to summon our mail guy. So, Igor... Bring us the mail.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
Thanks, Igor. Are those the guys we just watched tonight? Are they relatives of yours? You guys seem to share a resemblance. No? Yes? Igor? He didn't.
Okay. And there he goes.
He doesn't like that.
Igor brings us the mail. You can get a hold of us, and we hope that you do, by writing to us through our Facebook page.
www.facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show.
Or on Twitter.
At Sat Freak Show.
Or by email.
SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com.
Write to us, and we'll read your comments on the air.
All of them. We will read all of them.
Yeah.
Tonight about...
No matter what. Good, bad, indifferent.
Tonight about Tombs of the Blind Dead. Michaela writes in.
Oh, Michaela.
And she says, hey guys, and Ryan, hope you aren't having too much fun without me.
No.
Did you guys know the star of this movie, Lone Fleming, starred in a 1973 movie called Sexy Cat? Ooh. That sounds like some freak show material.
I think so. I want to know what Sexy Cat is about now. Is it anything like Cat People?
No. I want to know which one was Lone.
Yeah, which one was Lone?
Is that Roger?
Was Bet.
Bet?
Lone is a girl's name.
Lone. Yeah. Is it Lone?
Roger is Cesar. Right?
Okay.
Is it Cesar
that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, Cesar.
Lone is, Bet. And,
Lone. Is it Lone or Lone?
Don't know.
You just got Lone Fleming. You got to pronounce it a little something.
It's a cool name, though. Lone Fleming.
Lone. Yeah.
Sexy Cat is about a film crew making a movie about a comic book strip character, the Sexy Cat, when they start getting killed one by one by an unseen assailant.
Is it Spanish? Is it Italian? What is it?
It is Spanish, ooh, although Lone herself is Dutch.
Oh.
And made a bunch of movies in Spain.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on YouTube, Sexy Cat, but I could not find a subtitled or dubbed version. So if you know your Spanish, you're set.
Which we clearly don't.
We don't.
Bobette Georgie writes in and said, this movie was awful, except for those very cool zombies.
I did like them.
About our Night of the Demons episode, Nick Hammond writes in and says, he's correcting us here, Hull House is in Chicago, and it's very much haunted, with the Devil Baby being one of the biggest hauntings in Chicago.
I got to look this up because I've never heard anything about this.
I have.
Have you? There's a devil baby at Hull House?
I've heard. I don't know the full story, but yes, I've heard of it.
All right. I'm going to look this up.
All right.
I'm curious now.
Dom Cree says, Night of the Demons. He says, I guess this is payback for me making you guys watch Dead Heat.
We like Dead Heat.
No, you know what, Dom? No.
I don't think Dom listens.
He doesn't listen, obviously. Did you listen to the episode?
Come on, Dom. I think Dom comments on all our episodes and does not listen. Come on, Dom.
We had so much fun with Dead Heat. That was like one of our favorite episodes.
We love Dead Heat. That was fun.
Yeah.
Well, he also says, if it wasn't for the music and the special effects, I'd be giving this movie less than 2 exploding Loverboy eyeballs out of 5. Stooges one-liners were very much Joe Piscopo-esque as well. Cringeworthy. And it didn't help that I couldn't stop thinking that Stooge was a live-action version of Bebop from TMNT, where even now, guys, no more torture. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation.
Listen, I disagree with everything he said.
What was that last sentence?
We're even now.
We're even now. Okay.
Yeah. Mark Packard writes in and says, Return of the Living Dead is Linnea Quigley's best movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And MF Mad on Twitter writes in and says, this is not about Night of Demons. He just says, I know you really don't do requests, but has anyone ever seen Troll?
Yes.
Troll.
I have not seen Troll.
I have it at home.
There you go.
Is it awesome? Word on the street is that it sucks.
It's pretty bad. It's not quite as bad as Troll 2.
I mean, Troll 2 is apparently the worst.
The main character's name is Harry Potter, which is kind of fun.
Oh, no.
That's kind of fun.
Oh, no. Wow. Yeah. What year was Troll made?
86.
Before Harry Potter.
Oh, wow.
Was yeah.
Interesting. I guess, I mean, that's like John Smith over in England, right?
Is it?
Harold Potter.
Harold Potter.
Yeah, I don't know. Troll is an American movie. It takes place in, it's Italian. Troll 2 is Italian.
Troll 2 is Italian. Troll 1, I'm pretty sure, is American.
Yeah, all right, then.
I'm not positive on that.
So there you go, MF Mad. Oh, got to close the thing. Hopefully that's your name.
Yes, MF Mad, motherfucking mad.
Yep. So who knows? Maybe one day on the Freak Show, Troll. You never can
tell. Maybe. Yeah, we pick some
weird shit. Who knows?
But now we're going to find out what everybody thought of Tombs of the Blind Dead with our final wrap-ups, and then we'll tell you what we're watching next week. First up is...
Me!
Wait.
Sean.
Who are you?
I'm Sean. Hi, I'm Sean. I said
it'd be cooler if you shouted it.
I can't shout every time, guys. Somebody else has got. Once my turn, somebody else shout at me. Okay?
You're the shouter. I think we're just going to start pointing like Q.
You're going to have to because I'm going to forget. Okay. That it was I have to shout. No, me. Tombs of the Blind Dead. There were tombs. They were blind. They were dead. Like we said.
Truth in advertising.
This, I mean, it was a confusing movie, but it was kind of confusing in a good way when it started out. It's just like, what, you're just kind of in wonderment about what is happening in this movie and the people that are interacting with each other. The things I did like about this movie, I like the blind dead. I thought they were pretty creepy. That first scene where they are waking up and coming after Virginia, I thought it was actually pretty cool. I like the slow
walking and, you know, the design, their movements and everything. I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. It's, there's something about that where it's not just, or it's just the slow things coming at you. It's scary to me. So I like that. I like the designs. There's a lot of this movie that just doesn't kind of make sense to me. Just, you know, wandering around for 20 minutes of Berhinia. The rape scene comes out of nowhere. It doesn't mean anything to the movie. So, I mean, that obviously doesn't help it. Characters just kind of doing things. So it's a very weird movie. I did enjoy the ridiculousness of it because it is a ridiculous movie and what these characters do, jumping off a train and just wandering off and what have you. A lot of it doesn't really make sense. I wasn't bored by it. I mean, I enjoyed the absurdity of it until it got to, like, you know, certain scenes and the ending, like we said, was cool when the blind dead just hop on the train and go off to town. So, I mean, there are elements of this movie that I did enjoy and I think they're kind of worth seeing. Like, you know, a movie called Tombs of the Blind Dead. It's just like, oh, maybe I should see that. I don't think it does enough to recommend the movie. I don't know. It's got a few good parts. I don't think I don't think it adds up to something that you have to see. So I would pass on Tombs of the Blind Dead. It's got some good parts, but all in all, I think I would pass on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of got to agree with you there, Sean. Like Ryan said earlier, the pieces are there, like, for a potentially good plot. And I did enjoy the actual blind dead. The concept, the character, the creature concept was good. But there's too many plot holes. There's way too many plot holes. It's too confusing to watch. I mean, we watched in subtitles, so you're already kind of, you can't have that many holes with subtitles. I mean, I know it wasn't designed necessarily to be that way. It's a Spanish movie, but yeah, it's just, it left too many questions, left me wanting more answers. And I was
more answers and less rape.
God, so much less rape and so and so much more fighting back. These people did not fight back. They were so slow and they just stood there and it drove me crazy. I'm sorry. It drives me up
paralyzed
the fucking wall.
Paralyzed with fear.
No, it drives paralyzed me up the fucking stupidity. Wall.
Frozen with fear.
But they weren't.
Somebody did
but
yell freeze
frozen.
At one point in this
she
movie.
She did yell freeze. That is
but
true.
They weren't frozen. She'd like stand there and then like wander around a pillar and still stand there. And it drove me crazy.
She did just
yeah,
wander.
She did.
She did.
It drove me crazy.
She wandered around a pillar. Oh, that's wonderful.
So, yeah, I had more fun dissecting this movie than actually watching it. So I got to say that you're probably not missing much if you pass on Tombs of the Blind Dead. Yeah, interesting, but not interesting enough to recommend. Sorry. Ryan?
Well, I mean, like it's already been said, I really enjoyed the idea of this movie. Like, the mythology and everything was very cool with the whole satanic knights and shit and...
I love the idea.
Yeah, the idea.
You know, sacrificing virgins to get immortality and shit. It was cool.
Always a solid idea, sacrificing
yeah,
virgins.
Always.
Yeah.
It's always a good place to start.
Yeah.
But
building blocks.
It yeah, just, I think other parts of it could have been expanded more, like why Virginia became a zombie and nobody else became a zombie that we saw.
That's your big sticking point, isn't it?
Yeah, I really want to know why the hell that bitch became a zombie.
That's the big sticking point of the movie.
I want to know.
You're right.
So now is there a train full of zombies at the end of the movie? What happened?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Sequel. Oh, shit.
There's a sequel that doesn't address it yet.
They don't answer any of the questions.
No.
One of them's called The Seagulls or whatever. So it's not answering any goddamn questions.
No. That
makes me ask more
questions. That's a nature document at this point. That's not good.
Night of the Seagulls. I'm going to Google a synopsis.
So where's the Night of the Lepus, Colin? Let me watch that movie.
I didn't mind the movie. I thought it was fine. It probably wouldn't be one that I would, yeah, be like, oh, you guys have to see this. Mm-hmm. But if you want to have some beers and laugh at ridiculous Spanish people, it's it's fun. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Shit, I haven't gotten there yet. It sounds like a young doctor and his wife move into a primitive coastal town where every 7 years the undead Templars rise from the sea for 7 nights and demand the sacrifice of a young maiden. Oh. Night of the Seagulls.
Why couldn't it be called like the night? Oh.
So they were a little
seven
flexible.
Nights of the Seagulls.
Yeah. That,
but you spell knights K-N-I-G-H-T-S.
They weren't seven that nights clever of the in 1975 or yeah. whatever the hell. Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. You know, I mean, this is I found this movie through the, I mean, it's from, you know, we're watching the cut that Blue Underground put out on video. And when they, pardon me, when they announced that, you know, they were putting out all four of them, I'd never heard of this series prior to that release. And so I think at the time, you know, I mean, you read the genre press, you know, stuff, Fangoria, Rue Morgue, and all these folks, and they kind of, you know, it seems like all of a sudden all of them are Blind Dead we've been familiar with for years. And I'm like, well, I'm a horror aficionado, and I've never heard of these people. And I think there was also at that point in time, so this is like, what, the late 2000s, maybe, that they were putting all this stuff out, and then there seemed to be this rediscovery of, like, grindhouse cinema and drive-in cinema, all this stuff coming out from Something Weird Video and Anchor Bay. And it was, for me as a horror fan, it was a very exciting time because, like, I thought I'd seen, you know, pretty much, or sampled pretty much everything that was out there. And then all of a sudden there was this exposure to these, like, fucking movies, you know, like, from all corners of the world that you're like, you know, I never, and in these uncut editions also, I mean, like the Beyond was like a notable one that I found in this period of time where like, we only knew it here as the Seven Doors of Death. Right. And then here comes the Beyond uncut. And it's like, you know, this thing. I mean, I really enjoyed that film. So this was kind of on that deep dive, right? Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of stuff and I still continue. I mean, I've got the bug for horror films. I go exploring in off the
you
beaten
do,
path
you deep sea dive yeah. in horror movies.
Oh yeah, because that
to your detriment or not, you do it.
Because that would be like, no, I gotta see more movies of Armando D'Osorio, you know, and you go down that road or more Spanish horror films, or you know, how many, you know, because Jess Franco, the other Spanish filmmaker, also the other. another Spanish filmmaker. Well, I mentioned last week, but in case you weren't listening to that show, you're into Spanish horror movies of this period of time, you have to look up the work of Paul Naschy, because Scream Factory's got a Paul Naschy collection coming out. But that guy was inspired by Universal horror movies, and he made like all these movies where he was Dracula, Frankenstein, and famously a werewolf character named Valdemar Daninsky that he played 13 fucking times in the middle, which beats out like everybody else who's ever played one character over in horror films. Mm-hmm. Right?
if it for was that 13, length of yeah.
time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Robert Englund and Doug Bradley are tied.
I think for like how many?
I think it's at nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's quite a few. I mean, you know, the movies aren't necessarily good, but just the dedication
quantity
to
over
wanting
quality.
To do this. So, yeah. So in there, in
goes,
in this
right?
yeah,
in this sure. deep dive, I encountered the Tombs of the Blind Dead. And I actually like it better on this viewing, watching it with you guys. I was more like sometimes like, you know, I've tried to watch this where I just kind of, I don't know, late at night or whatever. And it's kind of slow, and I'm falling asleep. Tonight it was like awake and picking up every single nuance, and it was like the movie made complete and total sense with, I think, the big sticking point they were all hanging up on, which is why Virginia comes back to life. So it's either you buy that and say, like, okay, she's been infected by bad black magic voodoo, and so she returns to life, and it's a one-off, you know, whatever the fuck, because it leads to a fairly cool horror set piece, which I really like, you know, with just the way that it's shot and executed. And it's creepy.
Yeah.
You know, her stalking around, you know, in the mannequins or whatever is creepy.
You can almost see that set piece coming. You're just like, I see what they're doing.
Yeah. But I was kind of hoping that they were like going to time this out. So like, yeah, when the light would go out,
really a murder.
That's
hallway.
What I was wondering. You know,
that they were going to time it to the light going out. Yeah. So like when she would walk past, the light would be out and she'd be
that
standing there with
expecting.
The mannequins.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it does have like several directorial flourishes, which are different than the several of the other movies that you see, you know, from this time period. So it's not really a cheap movie. I think it was fairly tightly written. As far as like, you know, watching it this time, I'm like, you know, all the character dynamics were working for me. And then the thing where I think it's not, I think it's in the building of the suspense, where, you know, for instance, the 15 minute dialogue free scene at the beginning where, Virginia's wandering around the Abbey. It's like, now we wouldn't need to see that much to get the idea of what's happening, right? But in the 70s, it's like, okay, you know, I mean, again, I'm not from 1972. I have no idea. This is before I was born, right?
Okay.
Yeah, this is before any of us were born. Like, we watch so many movies from like 1990s on this show. I'm like, we got to find something from before any of us were born, right? So we're going back to 1972. So, I mean, the only way that I'm familiar with the rhythms of these films is through, you know, other movies, you know, from movies that you've seen. Like, what am I trying to get at here? You watch Psycho now. I think Psycho, made in 1960, plays good now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It still holds up because the editing rhythm that it employs has never really changed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's changed, but when we speed it up with MTV kind of stuff, then Quentin Tarantino's movies come back and slow everything down again, but it still feels like it's they're contemporary.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like those movies found that, you know, mathematical rhythm of editing that is timeless. So this one doesn't have that. It's, you know, more, it runs at a more, yeah,
no constraints,
a slower pace, yeah, basically.
We will cut whatever we want. Fuck you. That's French.
But I still think like
your accents are all over the place.
All over the place. They've never been good. They've never been good.
They're better than mine, so I give you that.
Mine, you always sound like Mexican.
You always sound Italian, always.
I thought it was Mexican when I was trying Italian, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, this was like a cool, the monsters were cool. I thought they were creepy looking, you know, the chanting, the noise, the soundtrack score, or whatever, which sounds like a bunch of like, you know, the Gregorian chant from hell. Mm-hmm. And I was keenly listening to that this time too. It's like the sound design on this movie really does help a lot. Because I think like if you were just kind of watching these things move in slow motion, you know, it wouldn't necessarily do anything, but like having this like really freaky, you know, stuff on the soundtrack and the chains clanking or whatever the fuck the noise is. Yeah. It's like, it's a really moody and atmospheric sound. It's a moody and atmospheric movie. You know, I don't know, the pros outweigh the cons for me, because I think like the first, you know, the first segment, at least until Virginia gets off the train, you know, is like, this is a decent way to start a movie. Cause I'm intrigued on like what's going on and, you know, how these characters are going to solve this. And then even to the end of, you know, the suspense sequence, hunting Virginia, meeting the blind dead, you know, all kind of works. And then I think the end sequence, once everybody gets to the Abbey again and starts getting picked off by the blind dead all the way to the train, like that stuff works. It's in the middle somewhere that it's like the elasticity of the editing starts to go like, okay, you know, it's like, where are we? We got to go meet this guy, meet that guy before we come back. And, you know, we're going to go, you know, back to the Abbey again and kind of kickstart this. Cause I'm like, the blind dead really only show up twice in the movie at the beginning. And then again at the end. Yeah. So, it feels a little, you know, loose in the middle, which could be tightened up or whatever. I mean, it seems like this is like a good, you know, if the Spanish wanted to go and, you know, remake something of cultural significance, because apparently this was a box office, you know, success. It warranted two more or three more sequels. And, you know, now there's fan art and, you know, there's bands that have music videos featuring the characters and, song lyrics, I think from somebody that I was reading. I think they should go and remake it, which I think would be kind of interesting to see these characters brought back into the,
that would be a cool remake.
I would, yeah. That'd be all right. Some movies are worth remaking. It's movies like this that are worth remaking.
Yeah, I think so, right? Because you could update this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Really. Without offending a bunch of people who are like, no, the first one's perfect. I agree that it's not perfect.
Right.
It is a product of 1972. It's not like Psycho. Psycho's perfect. This one could use some work.
Yeah, it's shit like this on this list that we need to start remaking. I'm just like, all right.
Yeah. There you go, listener. Put this one down as like, hey, we wouldn't be against like a remake of The Tombs of the Blind Dead.
Yeah.
I would recommend it. But again, I'm saying, you know, this is to the aficionados of Euro horror. And if you're into Euro horror or you're just getting your feet wet, it's like, yeah, I mean, you want to check this one out. I think it's one of the, a decent one. It's maybe not one of the best, but it's far from one of the worst. It's not boring. And it has some good ideas, and it keeps delivering even up until the end. So I would recommend The Tombs of the Blind Dead. And I've talked for way too long. So next week, we're going to watch a movie that's chosen by...
Sean, what are we watching next week?
All right. We are going to watch Escape from L.A.
Oh, we've been talking about that.
Yeah. We're going to watch Escape from L.A.
All right. Since they just announced they were going to remake Escape from New York.
We'll talk about it.
All right, so that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show, freaks, and we hope you'll join us then. And until then, the basement is going dark.